Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the X1 Bros. This is your positive gaming and Xbox community. Thank you for being here. Fallout, I finished the entire series. I give it an A+. Strud the Man, what do you think?
Yeah, it was really good. I give it an A.
Give it an A, baby. Giving it an A. Real quick, some house items. We did give away some X1 Bros hats. We are signing them today in the Members Lounge. You're not going to want to miss the Members Lounge where we sit and hang out. We're going to sign the hats, then ship them off. If you want a hat.
And you've won one.
If you've won one, there's still a few addresses that we don't have. So if you did win one, make sure you let us know over on Discord. Contact Mrs. McSpicy on Discord or write into info@x1bros.com, info@x1bros.com, and we will ship you your hat. Shipments will go out this week. So get those into us as soon as possible. And congratulations, everybody, on getting those. Again, join us on the member show, and we'll be signing them, talking to you guys live, and it'll be a good time. Spicy, did you jump into Fallout at all, the show?
No.
Oh, I haven't. Come on. No, it's okay. So good.
Well, here's the problem, and I think this is the problem in general with any show. I could either watch a show, or I could either play a video game.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose video game 100%.
What game did you play this week? Still on Helldivers?
Helldivers, yeah. Helldivers is so much fun. Like, they just had... another what the announcement, like the
new pack.
Well, not the pack, like what you were supposed to do every week or
orders.
Every other day or whatever, they give you orders to do.
The major orders.
They just released that we need to kill 2 billion bugs.
Yeah.
And I believe 100 million were done in 1 hour. Woo! It's probably done right now.
Woo!
Yeah, like it was.
Well, because you know they set that number.
Based
like they do the math, and so they did not figure that it would go that fast. Yeah.
Well, it's because for the last 2 weeks, we've all been having to play the robots against the robots because of all those
orders. Yeah.
And the bugs are the fun ones, in my opinion. And so everybody flooded over, and it's just been
crushing
chaos.
It. That's
it's awesome. A good game. So if I had the choice, I would rather play video games than watch a show.
Just 1 hour a night.
I have 1 hour a night to myself.
Oh, okay. Well, then in that case.
Yeah. But I'm sure it's a great show. Dude, you guys are saying it's a good show.
Blown away at it. In fact, it inspired us to go back and play Fallout this week.
Inspired a lot of people.
It's back up numbers.
Numbers are up across all Fallout games.
All the Fallouts. Amazing. Again, I said it last week. This could be their cultural moment. I'm not saying that Fallout's going to take over Halo or anything like that, but this is a huge cultural moment. These are the kind of cultural moments that the Xbox and Xbox 360 era had and that we've missed out on. These are the cultural moments that PlayStation has had during the last generation, and it feels like Xbox is catching up here. Now, imagine if they're able to put together an amazing Gears show.
Well, I hope people take notes. This is a show, from what I understand, that respects source material.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's... what fans of an IP want.
Even,
Look what it did to the brand. Look what it did to the IP.
Fired it up, opened it up.
People, I think I read an article that I think it's topping the charts as downloadable games this last little while.
Yeah.
Like, people are just downloading Fallout, buying the $3 version of Fallout on Steam.
Well, because what it does is when you watch the show, it reminds you what you love about Fallout. So you go and play it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also, though, Jordan, tell me about the actress, the main actress. I forget her name. But yeah. She was asked about, did you play this game?
And yeah, so I want to.
Well, before you say that, can we just recap? When the Halo creators and actors were asked, did you play the game? They answered, no. We want to make sure we're free to do our own thing. Now let's go to her answer.
We have to pull up the video to get her exact answer. But she played the game. I know she played Fallout 4.
Yeah,
for sure. I don't know if she played any of the other ones, but she played the game, and she enjoyed it. She played the game to understand what people love about this world.
Yeah. Then the three main actors.
Oh yeah, this one was really cool. So they, you know how like I don't know why I keep getting these on my feed. But I keep watching them, so I guess that's why. I don't know how they originally got there. It's probably one of you guys, because we're always switching accounts. But anyway.
I know when Jordan watches YouTube, because I get, like, the bikini turn.
Oh, that's sorry, that's me.
Oh, okay. I get all the bikini
So it's like, have you seen the videos where it's like Kurt Russell breaks down his iconic characters from Wired or from Forbes or whatever, you know? So it was the, I forget their names. It was Cooper, it was the ghoul. Lucy, which is the main girl character, and then Maximus. which is the brother
him.
Of yeah, he's actually a really cool character.
At first, I was unsure about him. I love him.
They all have really good development. And that's the other thing, Mark, is they actually have character development.
Actually,
that would be nice.
And each character has like they each come from it. It's good.
We'll
talk about it, but. They were asked, I don't know, let's just say there was like 20 questions. They were asked like 20 questions about the Fallout series, and they all collectively knew like 18 of the 20 answers.
Yeah, like hardcore fan questions.
Yeah, well, because it was like for example, one question, and this was Lucy that answered. What is her name? It's like Bella something or Ella. Anyway.
It's L something,
Or Ella. They were asked how many vaults are in the Fallout universe, and they're like, oh, man, they're trying to think. And she goes, I think there's 122. And they're like, yeah, that's correct. Okay, and they went to that. So, but they knew they like even Cooper Hout or the actor that plays Cooper Hout. Well, and the thing is they're all so likable,
and they're great actors too.
Like all through whatever company did their actors. Media training, they did a good job.
School of Julie, like acting.
No,
training?
No, you know how you have like the PR people that say like, hey, this is what you can and can't say.
Yeah.
They had a good one of those.
Oh. Okay. So they don't work for Microsoft.
So it does make me wonder, because it's bringing popularity to the games, right? I'm playing New Vegas right now, so is David. And they have to be. If you're sitting on the TV, on the board or the TV show creative directors of Halo, are you looking at this and thinking, huh? How come everybody likes their show?
It's a slap in the face because Halo could be amazing. And a lot of people tell me that season 2 got it back a little bit.
Yeah, it was like,
but it's okay. I'm done anyways.
Yeah, one. I will say season 2 is better than season 1, but you know.
Well, what do you do?
When
you broke it, you broke it. But I think it's just an example. Hey, let's make sure that RIP, let's protect RIP. Todd Howard was hands-on executive producer. Do whatever you need to do. Whoever creates, have the person that cares the most. No one's going to care about your IP or your product as much as you do. Mm-hmm. Todd Howard being an executive producer on Fallout is, I think, a huge part of why that turned out so well, because nobody is going to care about Fallout as much as he cares about Fallout. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to see it ruined. He doesn't want to see it changed or destroyed. That's the key.
Well, that's what I was saying last week. Despite, you know, how people feel about Todd Howard, I genuinely think he cares for these franchises, Elder Scrolls, Fallout, and he wants to see them succeed, right? Now, does that mean that the developers are always going to make the right decisions with the games or try things and maybe some things work and some things don't work? No, of course not, right? But I still think they, in Todd Howard's case, care about these franchises, and that is why the Fallout TV show was well-received and good.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, you have some of these writers. Is it the lead showrunner is a huge Fallout fan, going all the way back to the first two original games.
Yeah.
So, and another thing which is really cool, I don't know if you guys watch Tim Kaine. He's the original creator. He does like little videos where he just talks, and it's really interesting because you kind of get his insights. He shares different experiences from being a game developer and stuff. He was invited by Todd Howard, and he went to the premiere, and he had high praise for the story. He said he was on the edge of his seat. Well, everybody's probably seen the news stories because everybody's been covering it. He said he was on the edge of his seat the whole time. He specifically said, I probably missed some of the dialogue, but he said they nailed the vibe, and he loved looking at all the little things they put in the show that reminded him of Fallout in the vaults, in the world, in the towns. It's really good.
Super good. So let's... Before we get to the crazy people, do we want to talk about the crazy people now, or do we want to talk about our Fallout gameplay? Let's talk about the crazy people now.
Yeah,
Mitchell Judge, brought it up in chat. It says, crazy how people... Nope, sorry, wrong one. Anyways, Mitchell said, crazy how people who care about the story and are fans of the franchise end up making better shows. Amen.
Which, by the way, reach out to a broader audience.
Yeah.
When something's good, it's good.
To more people. Silence 42, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to say, because a lot of these... newer TV shows, they use that excuse like, oh, well, we need to change things because we want to reach a broader audience.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, Halo 2 already reached a broader audience by what it did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you all you have to do is make... It's probably easier said than done. But all you got to do is make a good product.
Yeah. Agreed. Silence 42 said, there are some New Vegas zealots who are pissed... but Bethesda shot them down.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah, but the New Vegas
other people have called them New Vegas elitists.
So let's just do a 10,000-foot view of that drama that happened.
Well,
this
there's
week,
there's kind of two dramas that happened, and I think this week Bethesda got a lot of undeserved hate.
But did they?
I wouldn't even call it criticism. It was just undeserved hate. It was foolish
by 10 weirdos.
maybe now. Everybody knows New Vegas is a good game. Me and David are currently playing it right now. Yeah, Everybody knows Fallout 3 is a good game. Now, that's where the waters get a little muddied because some people prefer Fallout 3, some people prefer New Vegas. You know, going back and playing New Vegas, there's a lot of things that I forgot about that I do like that they do better than Fallout 3. But there's also things in Fallout 3 that are really good that I prefer to the New Vegas. Like, they're both really good games. But there is... There's a subset of people that are doing, I would say, mental gymnastics to connect how Bethesda hates Obsidian and Fallout 4, and Bethesda is trying to rewrite history, and that's why the show had these two little parts, because so they hate New Vegas and they want to ruin
basically
it.
Basically, they're accusing Bethesda of... because Obsidian developed New Vegas, they're accusing Bethesda of leaving certain things out of the show as a, like,
well,
thumb
no,
in
they're,
their eye.
They're, it all revolves around Shady Sands and the NCR, which, if you watch the show, it...
It addresses it.
Doesn't.
It addresses New Vegas and actually makes you excited to play New Vegas, is what I'll say.
And what it does is... It all revolves around one scene, right? And they're like, oh, they're ruining the canon, or they're doing this, or they're doing, or you know, and it's New Vegas, I believe, has four endings, right? What's actually exciting about this is if season two plays out how we're thinking,
we're gonna
know which canon, which ending is canon, which I think is exciting. You know, like for example, my very first time playing New Vegas on the 360, I went with the since a lot of people are playing it, I won't say what exactly happens, but let's just say I went with the personal ending. the personal ending where my personal character
was personal.
Let's say reigns supreme. You know?
Okay.
So this playthrough that I'm playing through this week, I'm going to do the NCR. I'm going to go with their ending. So I'm kind of doing all their stuff. But there's a lot of... There was a lot of questions with lore, and there was another scene where they had a picture of a whiteboard with a timeline on it, and people were really hammering that when they didn't need to. And then Bethesda, of course, came out and said, okay, this is what that... they didn't say this is what that board means, but they said this is the timeline, and it basically alleviated all the concerns that everybody had. So then they had to jump to another thing to get mad at because Bethesda is just evil and trying to ruin Fallout New Vegas and blah, blah. You know, it was just, it was a mess.
Yeah, Sounds 42 in chat says, as coming from a guy who knows the lore forward and backward, it makes sense what they are doing and people are idiots.
Oh, there you go. Hey, fair enough.
Well said.
So, the other thing where I do believe they were getting hate where they didn't necessarily deserve it, because I think, I don't know, and this is going to be kind of hard for me to explain, but the whole modding situation that happened this week. So if anybody knows what a mod is, right? A mod is something you download to a game and it changes the game. Everybody knows what a mod is.
Sure.
So when you mod a game, that game can come out with updates. Now, whether it's Baldur's Gate 3, Stardew Valley, whatever game uses mods. When that game comes out with an update, a lot of the times that update will break the mods and the mod creators have to go back in and fix them and go on from there, right? It's not necessarily something uncommon, but it happens. So what happened this week is there's a new mod coming out for Fallout 4 called Fallout London, which, by the way, if you've never heard of it and you have a PC that can play Fallout, I would suggest going on YouTube and looking at this because this game looks amazing. Like, this is a full-on, complete... Or full new game, you know, voice actors, everything.
Yep.
Modded, and it's going to take place in London. It looks really cool. I'm very excited for it. It was going to come out in April. Now, Bethesda announced their update, and the creators of Fallout London said, hey, we're actually not going to release it in April anymore because as soon as this update hits, it's going to break stuff.
Sure.
Mostly to deal with what they call the Fallout 4 script extender. The update will break that, and that's what the game relies on. So they have to wait till that gets fixed, and then they can release the game. Now,
no big deal.
That being said, on a personal level, you do feel bad for the modders because they've worked 4 years on this, and they had a release date, and now they got to wait because of the mod. Now, what's been going on is there's been, I'm not going to say a lot, but there's been some outrage like, oh, and again, I saw this on Twitter, but Twitter's not really a gauge of anything. But people have been saying, oh, Bethesda's doing this because they knew this game was going to be better than Fallout 4 and blah, blah, blah. And it was
people
just...
are psychopaths. Let me tell you about people that are psychopaths. Yeah. They're psychopaths.
Yeah. So now, and I was thinking about it. I'm like, okay, you know, like, or they said like, oh, Bethesda should have contacted them and told them and this and that. And like this whole huge thing, right? Now, yes, the game is 4 years old. There hasn't been an update in 4 years. Or no, the game's not 4 years old, but there hasn't been an update in 4 years. And I get the frustration, mostly probably from the developers of Fallout London, which I haven't really heard them say anything. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't, which I get their frustration if they have any, which they probably do. But as Bethesda, you got to think of the... How do I word this without offending people? You got to think of the entire community, right? This update that they're coming out with, this next-gen update, is a benefit to the entire community. Fallout London, which is an incredible looking mod, is not launching on console, so you're already cutting those players out, and only a subset of people on the PC are going to download and play this mod, because when you get into the modding community, I would say the modding communities are very, would you say tight-knit? They're good communities and they're tight-knit communities, but because of how mods work, and people are going to be like, oh, Jordan, you're so stupid. All you do is go to Nexus Mod and download Cyclone and do this and do that. Like, it's not easy just to go download a mod. Like, you have to go through a process, which a lot of people are not going to do. And I'm not saying that Fallout London's not going to do well. I think it's going to do incredibly well, and I'm going to be there when it releases. Mark, you should actually look at it. I think you'll be really into it.
Okay.
It looks super cool. But what I'm saying is Bethesda has to think of the whole community and not just a subset of the community. And I think this update benefits the entire community as a whole.
And I
personally don't think they should be getting the hate that they were getting this week because of that update in relation to Fallout London.
No, they weren't. It's losers. It's people that probably haven't even played the game. They just look for a reason to complain. Let me put it this way. Let me put it to you this way. I'm very involved in the day-to-day news of Xbox, and I saw this blip up for a second and didn't even look twice at it. Like, it's honestly no big deal. It affects 50 people, but excited to
I mean, I think it affects more. I think
excited to do Bethesda London for sure.
No, yeah, that's yeah. It's hard to say because I am excited for Fallout London.
Yeah, or Fallout London. Sorry,
but I understand, and I do, like, I feel for the developers on a personal level, because that does suck, you know, 4 years of work, and they've put a lot of work into this. Like I said, like, voice acting,
yeah,
new assets, a whole new area, London, right? Like, it looks awesome, new outfits, everything. It's, like, I don't blame Bethesda for coming out with this update. You know, it's just, I think people are upset with, because Starfield wasn't what they wanted.
No, people are upset
Bethesda I think it's the cool thing to do right now is to hate on Bethesda. That's the cool thing to do.
I just wanted to make one correction. People are upset because Bethesda only came to Xbox. That's it. We started something last week.
Oh yeah,
because of the Fallout stuff. This is what we posted on the community channel on YouTube. In fact, that's probably the best place to keep up to date with us is on our community channel over on YouTube. We're kicking off a fresh tradition, we said, called Members Play, where we dive into a classic or Game Pass title each week. This week, we're getting into Fallout New Vegas. Join the fun and tune in for our discussion on next week's show. So, we both had the chance to jump into Fallout New Vegas. It was my first time ever playing it. This game, what was it? It came out in 2008?
Ooh, when did this game?
I think it's 2008. Can I say...
I'm watching gameplay in it.
Yeah.
I got to download it. I haven't downloaded it yet.
It holds up. Like, I enjoyed it. It holds up really well. Like, really, really well. In fact, what surprised me was it. Obviously, you can tell it's an older game, but I thought, oh, it's going to be hideous. It's going to be unplayable. But you're watching it, if you're watching live or you're watching the YouTube video, basically all that's missing is detail. But it looks like a lot of games today in 2024. It plays really well. I will say the FPS.
It came out in 2010, by the way.
2010. The FPS boost, by the way, feature that Xbox
Series X has. That night and day.
I think you said this last week, Jordan.
Turn that on.
It's underrated.
Oh, 100% underrated.
It's way underrated. Like, you turn that on and you're like, oh, I'm playing a modern game here. Wow, look at this.
Yeah, no, it's... And the nice thing about FPS boost on older games is, because FPS boost can lower the resolution, but, you know, an older game doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, this is...
Like, you can outpower, the hardware can outpower, you know, it's FPS boost, night and day change for Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 3.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I think there's so many games that come out that we just don't get to keep up on. There's so many games in the past that, because we're in 2024, we look at these games in the past and we think to ourselves, eh, I kind of missed out. I can't go back and play that. And in some games, that's true. That just doesn't hold up. The Fallout series, at least from Fallout 3 on, I don't think lies in that category. You absolutely, if you have a Series X or a Series S, can go back and play them. It holds up very well. You can see it's not outdated mechanics in the sense that you can...
No,
you fail to see what's there. It's great storytelling. It's great decision making. It's great character building, and I am very much enjoying New Vegas. I'm blown away by it.
Yeah, it's really good. I would say it's not. I think there's things that Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas do better than Fallout 4.
It feels like to me, not having been through New Vegas, it feels like my decisions matter more here than in 4.
Well, 4. The main story of 4, if I remember correctly. So 4 is my... Well, I haven't decided if once I beat New Vegas, which I'll probably beat tonight or tomorrow. I'm that far, guys.
Wow.
Not that well it's, done. You know,
you're so cool.
Not that it's that hard. Yeah. But so I...
That's what she said.
I don't know if I want to go... I don't know if I want to go Fallout 76 or Fallout 4. So last time I played Fallout 4, I played it all the way through at launch, dabbled into it a few months afterwards, and then kind of... I never came back for any of the expansions,
yep.
Which was what was really nice, is I still think it's going on right now. Fallout 4 base game and all the expansions together bundled is $9.99.
Worth it.
So, yeah,
even
and that's...
The
and
base
that's,
game is on Game Pass.
That includes Far Harbor and Nuka-Cola World, and I hear Far Harbor is one of the best expansions that they've had for a Fallout game. So if I remember correctly, in Fallout 4, the story was the side stuff was really good, but the main story, you basically were, wasn't there what, only three options? There was Brotherhood, Railroad, the Institute. What was it called? The Institute.
Yeah,
the Institute, and then the Minutemen. So there was four options, but I believe three of the options. So like Brotherhood, Railroad, and Institute. Like, I think they didn't they. The only way you could save multiple factions was with one of the options, or something like that. Hey, this is why I got to go back and replay it. But anyway, going back to your thing, it does feel like there's a little bit more choice in these games.
Yeah.
And I think...
Well, but not more choice, but also that it feels like I'm having to make choices that matter.
Well, yeah, and that's another thing where I think Fallout 4 kind of misstepped. Although very cool that your character was voice acted, I think only having four voice options limits your character on what decisions you can make. Whereas in Fallout New Vegas, sometimes you have like seven going down the list of different things you can say and do.
Yeah.
And in Fallout, if you remember, since your character was voiced, you only had four options in every conversation. And two of those options were always yes and no. So you really only had two, you know what I mean? Although I think it was cool that your character was voice acted, I prefer the older system.
It was limiting. You know, I don't need my voice to be accurate. I like the NPC's voices to be acted. But yeah.
Well, and if you notice if you notice Bethesda in Starfield, they went back to that regular style.
Yeah, absolutely. Nico Hernandez, loving the show so far. And the knight doesn't take off his helmet. Yes, that's a Halo jab. The jab Halo. It's a Halo jab.
Yeah, the guy in the power armor keeps his helmet on more than Master Chief does.
More than Master Chief does. Also, he keeps his pants on. Just saying.
Master Cheeks.
Yeah. So. But yeah, really good. I will say, though, it has opened up this whole new world. In fact, there's a YouTuber, Mr. Matty Plays, who actually started a retro channel. Because I was thinking, like, we're to a point where there's so much gaming content that as a content creator, you could focus just on past content in 2024, for instance, and absolutely crush it.
Yeah.
Because these games, we are to this point where what the Series X has brought us is these features like FPS boost. My only complaint is it's an emulator, essentially, on the 360. So you do have to sign in to your 360
account. You had a little bit of trouble with that.
I had trouble because if you have 2FA on... two-factor authentication on your Xbox account, your Microsoft account, it won't work. It won't sign you in. It'll tell you the password is wrong. What you have to do is go to the Xbox website and say, give me a unique password for 360, and then we'll give you one. And
it's like the new security doesn't talk well with the old security. Yeah, okay. So David laughed at me this week. He goes, Jordan, didn't you have this problem? Don't you have two-factor? And I told him, no, I'd rather get hacked. Like, I don't... two-factor annoys the crap.
If you just turn off two-factor, you're golden. So take your pick. But, yeah, very impressed. I think I'm going to start going back and going through some of these games. I'm going to continue with New Vegas here.
You should go to... I mean, the new update for Fallout 4 is coming out in a few weeks, so I know a lot of people are going to jump on that.
Yeah.
But you should go to 3 afterwards.
And compare the difference there. Well, so a lot of people in 3, like, I was watching reviews of both 3 and New Vegas, and the common denominator or the common thought process is 4, or New Vegas rather, had better quests. 3 had better world exploration. That seems to be the common theme in a lot of the, discussion around it. But we'll see. I'm very much enjoying New Vegas, though. And again, if you've not ever jumped into it, or you want to go back, if you have a Series X or even probably an Xbox One, it's totally worth it. Now, to get to the FPS boost, I never used it before.
Yeah, you have to go into, so highlight your game, hit the hamburger button, go to manage game, and then when you go to your manage game section, there'll be a thing on the right that says compatibility options.
On the left.
Yep. When you click on that, it'll have everything on the left that the game can take advantage, their HDR features that they have or FPS boost. It is off by default, so you actually have to go in and turn it on. What's really fun is if you go into Fallout 4. So what Fallout 4 did do wonderfully, and this is definitely you definitely notice this when you go back to Fallout New Vegas and 3 and stuff. The third person and first person combat, way better. You can tell they were like, all right, we got to try and make this smooth and work. And it feels really good, but it's fun to go in and play these games at 30 frames and then turn on FPS boost. And you're like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Cause I would say more so in Bethesda games, does it really make a difference?
So yeah, a lot of fun to go back through and check it out. So that's our members only. We're going to do New Vegas another week here. So jump in, play with us. We'll discuss a little bit more. Jordan's going to probably finish
you it. You want to know what I did too?
Yeah.
I went to Game Pass on PC. I also downloaded the original Fallout 1 and Fallout 2.
Ooh.
Now I hear, because again, I've been watching a lot of Tim Kaine lately, and he's been talking a lot about a Fallout because of everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Now those games, from what I hear, they're isometric, they're top down.
Sure.
But from what I hear, they feel more like a D&D campaign as opposed to these new versions.
Yeah,
it's definitely different. But I mean, 2 gigs on the old computer for free.
Oh, can't beat that.
And there's something about gaming in the 90s, you know?
Or yeah,
like how like. I pulled up Fallout 1. I didn't start it. I just pulled it up, and it showed like the opening cutscene, and Ron Perlman was still in it. I didn't know that. He's been. I've come to find out a lot of lore and stuff this last week of Fallout. But Ron Perlman has been in every Fallout game. I didn't realize he was in the first two. And it's really cool. They have all the Vault Boy stuff and Vault Tech, but there's just something about those old like 90s in-game cinematics, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like you remember the old StarCraft ones that you're like, man, yeah. Like it's just
hell, it's about time.
Well, not even that one. That was StarCraft 2, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But
well, that because we waited for like 12 years.
Yeah. So that did come out pretty, yeah. But I don't know, it's just something about the old game like they were games, you know? Like it almost feels like nowadays everybody's focused on being hyper realistic and like I don't know. It's just something about loading up old games. It just feels good.
Uh-huh. I agree 100%. Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I got to say on that.
World of Warcraft was talked about this week because there was an interview with the president of Blizzard.
Oh, they were going to say the president of the United States. And, oh, wow, he plays WoW?
The president of I think whoa, actually she's wow. the
He's a paladin.
The president.
No, probably a hunter. I don't know.
The president of, I believe actually she's the president of World of Warcraft. What's her name? Something. Her
Holly?
Name is something. Holly, that's her name. Yeah. Yes, Holly. Holly like Woodall or something like that.
I actually think you're completely off.
Whatever. Holly. Go to Holly. Anyways, of course, it came up, hey, is it coming to console? And she says, we obviously talk about it internally all the time, and it's been a great help being with Xbox and Microsoft, blah, blah, blah. It's coming. We all know it's coming.
Mel,
it's going to be amazing. It's coming. It's coming. Do you want to?
It's difficult because of the game is so reliant on add-ons, especially when you get into higher-end content.
Yeah.
And you can't really put those add-ons on console because I think the game can be on console. I think they can have a control scheme for it because Final Fantasy does it. Yeah, I 100% it's on console, and I don't think you have to dumb it down to be on console. I do think you need to figure out an add-on situation, but I think my personal opinion that I've said, I think getting rid of all add-ons in World of Warcraft is more beneficial to the game than not.
Amen, brother.
You'd have to change the way you develop the game because right now high-end stuff, and you're not going to change my mind. They are developed around add-ons. That they have to be. That's why, so anyway.
The other news this week that actually drops today is Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
Henry.
And it's with Henry.
Henry.
I'll pull up the trailer.
Yeah.
But it's coming in 20...
Find that sound. Henry.
In 2024, in Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, you play as Henry of Scarlets, an ordinary man who finds himself thrust into a gripping tale of revenge, betrayal, and discovery. With over 5 hours of cinematics to discover through his journey, prepare for an open-world experience that features, quote, true RPG elements amidst a brutal medieval world. And that is Kingdom Come... Kingdom Come Deliverance is like this... slow-paced.
It was a very unique
it's
game.
Unique. It has a unique feel and vibe to it, and it's cool.
Because they went for
realism.
Yeah, they went for like almost like this perfect mix of simulator, but not...
Also over the top.
But not simulator enough to be like annoying when you can't figure out where the keys are on the plane, you know?
Yeah.
But it was a very unique... Also,
Henry's an adult.
Cool game.
That's Henry.
Henry.
Henry's an adult now. Henry. Yeah, it was
really fun. I would say for me, every combat scenario was interesting because it felt difficult.
Yeah.
I would never really mastered sword fighting. I could handle it.
It's hard.
Yeah, it was, but it was, it felt like real fights in a weird sense because I mean, fighting's hard.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever passed the tutorial on the sword fighting anyways. I think the guy that, you know, when you go to the guy up in the fortress or whatever.
Yep.
I think he basically just said, I can't deal with this guy. You got it. Go live your life. But no, it's a really fun game. I really enjoyed it. I'm excited for the finding out Henry's story.
Like, further adventures.
Further. Yeah, exactly. See here, we're watching combat right now. It's so hard.
But look how good, like the game just looks good. It is this immersive world that they built. Like they did a really good job.
No, it's one of those like niche RPGs that has a really good feel and vibe to it. It is medieval. I don't think there's a better medieval RPG out there.
Yeah, not RPG.
That bastard, peasant, orphan.
Lover.
Lover.
Warrior.
This is all of our call signs.
Yeah.
But really exciting to see this come, especially after we have like Baldur's Gate. Just I don't want to compare these two, but it's kind of on the same playing field in the sense that it's like a niche game that I think could be really, really good if the mainstream adopted it and took it and played it. You know what I mean?
I think number one exceeded expectations like how many players played it. And I think number two, if it's good, we'll take it to that next level.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Also, I love the CEO of Warhorse.
Yeah.
He's
a Viking.
He's a no-nonsense guy.
Yeah. Well, and wasn't the first game, and I assume the second game, you know, takes place in the same area, but wasn't the first game like the history of their country?
They were trying to stay true to history.
Yeah, because where are they from? It was, I forget where they're from, but it was like the history of the country that those developers were from, and they were like trying to tell period accurate.
I think they're calling it a historical RPG. Let me look up the exact term.
Nico Fernandez in chat did say the first one is literally $4 in the shop right now. It is true. The spring sales is a good deal.
Yeah.
Go grab it if you haven't. I think I do.
Yeah, we own that one.
But yeah, fantastic. In fact, man, I want to go play this game now. I need to retire, so all I do is...
Yeah, remember you would have to find save potions or save drinks? That's how you save the game? Because it wasn't like... saving was almost a mechanic in the game.
That dude's back. The bald dude's back.
With the mustache.
The mustache bald dude is back. Oh, so good.
Denmark.
So good.
There it is. Denmark, yeah.
Now, lest you think that this is the only medieval game we're looking forward to, one of the top...
I know what you're going to talk about.
One of the top reviewed games... is coming this month to Game Pass. Granted, it's Game Pass for PC, but who the cares? It's great. And I've been watching all kinds of videos. I'm prepping myself for it. And that is Manor Lords, baby. It's coming.
Do you want me to pull up footage of that
game? Bring that up, yeah. Manor Lords is a medieval strategy game featuring in-depth city building, large-scale tactical battles, and complex economic and social simulations. It's the top wish-listed game on Steam, ahead of the likes of Hades 2 and Hollow Knight Silksong. I watch a lot of creators in the city building genre, in the strategy genre, and every single one of them, to a T, says this is one of the best games they've ever played.
Is it this one right here?
That's it, yep.
Okay, I'll pull this up.
And it's this, think of, so city builder, and then when you battle, you go into 3D and... you can go through your town and you're charged with building up this settlement in medieval towns and then protecting people and calling your people to arms. And then you get to go into battle and command them. And it's amazing. And just I highly recommend go watch someone stream it. And everyone I watch, honest people, this is not media journalists. These are like individual YouTubers who just love this genre of game. Say this is one of the best games they've ever played in the genre. On Game Pass. The value of Game Pass, baby. So I am downloading this as soon as it drops. It drops April 26th. So what are we, a week away from that? Next week?
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. City Skylines 2 was a disappointment, so I got to jump into this.
Yeah, it was broken.
Yeah, I just...
Ironically, the game that came out because SimCity was so broken is now...
broken. It got released too early.
Yeah, everybody. So I downloaded City Skylines, and you're like, oh, okay, this is odd.
It looks beautiful.
And then everybody, immediately went back to City Skylines 1.
So that's super fun, super exciting. And that's us. Everybody, for this week, it's a lot of good stuff happening in the world of gaming. I am so impressed with going back to old games, though. Like, if you've not done it, you missed a game in the series, do not, because this was me. Like, yeah, I can't go back. There's no way I could go back. Oh, you can. And now, not every game is going to be this. Some games just won't hold up. But, like, for instance, I'll give you an example. If you missed out on the Gears series, go back. That one definitely holds up. Zero problems there. In fact, they have a remake of the first one. So go back and play that series. Go back and play the Fallout series.
Can I ask you guys a question? Yeah. I've heard
Skyrim.
I've heard rumblings about it, and I wonder. So, and it's because of the success of the show. So because of the success of the show, people are going back and playing Fallout again. People are getting excited about Fallout again. Now, realistically, we're not going to see a Fallout 5 until
2030.
So, yeah, I mean, really, because if you think Elder Scrolls, so Elder Scrolls 6 is their focus now. I mean, yeah, you got updates to Starfield coming, but the majority of the team, I'm sure, is on Elder Scrolls 6. I don't think we're going to get Elder Scrolls 6 in 2025. I think we're going to get it sometime in 2026. For Elder Scrolls 6, 2026. Yeah, they're going to go 6/6/26 because that seems to be, you know, they remember 11/11/11, right? Yeah. That seems to be there. So, and then from that point, then they're going to go, you know, full steam ahead on Fallout 5. And we know Todd Howard, when they were doing the show through interviews and different things, we know they kept stuff out of the show because they didn't want to spoil Fallout 5. And a lot of people are thinking they're setting up certain things in the show for Fallout 5 and stuff like that. It makes me, like you said, 2030, right? Do you think Microsoft, who owns all these people now, do you think they're...
Well, you could pull a Call of Duty thing where you now can have, you can go jump back and forth and go Obsidian.
Well, and this X. That's what I was thinking too. I'm like, well, look, Obsidian's busy with their games. They're pushing on Avowed right now. Maybe after Avowed, I mean, they also have Outer Worlds 2 that they're doing. I'm just thinking, like, do you think Microsoft is seeing this and saying, okay, Bethesda, you keep working on your timeline, which will be Fallout 6, or sorry, Fallout. Or Elder Scrolls 6 and then Fallout 5. And then in the meantime, we'll do a quote-unquote, we'll just, you know, New Vegas 2. Not New Vegas 2, but you know how New Vegas was kind of a, like a side expansion type game? You know, it's in the lore, but it's not...
The thing is it's 2024 April. It doesn't matter if you were to fire up a new project. It wouldn't be anytime soon.
Well, to be fair, I'm saying this. They made Fallout New Vegas in like a year and a half.
Well, you know why. Yeah, yeah. They just took assets from Elder Scrolls and threw it in the game.
Here's the thing, though. Elder Scrolls 6 is projected to release in, quote, early 2026. So you know that, Drew.
No, yeah, I don't think we're going to see it next year. I think next year we'll see Fable. I think Fable will be the big one for next year. But I don't think we're going to see a Bethesda game until 2026.
I don't think that you need to rush any of these. Because here's the thing. Let's pretend. So we know today it was announced that they signed on to season 2 of Fallout. So we're getting to season 2. So that we'll probably get that in 1 year, season 2.
But I saw a thing, and this is when I started thinking about it. We potentially might get 5 or 6 seasons of the show before the next game.
Yeah, and so think about if 5 or 6 seasons of the show, and they're all
at least as good as season 1.
Or let's say they're just under as good, but they're all solid.
Yeah.
Then Fallout comes. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, daddy.
Yeah. I don't think there's any need
to rush.
Yeah.
The only need is to make sure that the show continues as well as it did now. I mean, Yellowstone, for instance, is a fantastic series. I love it. And look how many iterations they have in the last decade. Like, imagine that with Fallout, and boom, a game drops.
Yeah, in 10 years.
And then imagine what that does for Game Pass. Imagine what that does for Xbox overall. Like, It's something that's... You know what you could do to this, too? Like, imagine Senua. Just the show called Senua.
Well, isn't the game, basically, like a cinematic experience?
Yeah, now put that in into a show.
You know what's really frustrating about the show being so good?
Is it shows the missed opportunities of everything else.
Of Halo. Specifically Halo.
Of everything
else.
Of Wheel of Time.
I'm like really salty of Halo.
Of everything that they've crushed because they have young actors with egos.
I think...
Or not young actors, young writers with egos.
I think we're just getting... We're at the beginning of this pushback, like I said last week, where merit matters again.
I'm just really salty about Halo. Especially after seeing the Fallout show.
I'm salty about everything. I'm salty about Star Wars. I'm salty about everything. Everything has been taken from me.
Yeah. Yeah. But look how cool this game looks. I'm very excited for this game. Go fast forward to when there's like 3D fights.
Kingdom Come, or not Kingdom Come.
No, this is Manor Lords.
Manor Lords.
Oh, Manor Lords.
You know what's crazy, though? When you were talking about the voice acting in Fallout and stuff, David, you mentioned like it's cool, or no, Jordan, you mentioned it's cool that they have voice acting and stuff, but you prefer the old way
for your main character. Yeah.
Do you know what would be interesting with how AI tech is coming along? Because you can actually, David, I think might have used this.
I have used it in Spanish. I'm fluent in Spanish, Japanese, Chinese.
You can record
with my own voice.
You can record your voice and have it like change its language and stuff like that, but you can now type your own. You don't even have to speak anymore.
Yeah.
What if game? I think in like 10 years or less, it's gonna ask for a voice profile,
yeah,
and you're just gonna say the alphabet,
into the microphone,
speak into them out, say these letters,
you'll say
words,
some phrases,
and then you're gonna have characters in game with your voice,
yeah,
speaking to the parts.
It's funny you mention that because WoW Classic has a new, or it's not new, but it's called VoiceOver, but it uses...
Henry's in our chat! Henry from Scallets! I'm feeling quite hungry. Hello, Henry.
Hey, Henry, how's it going?
Henry's here in chat, everybody. Henry from Scallets, welcome.
So, but going to that voice thing, so... In World of Warcraft Classic, it's all you get a quest and you read the quest and then you go do the quest. They came out with a add-on that I think it was called VoiceOver, but it takes all the original quests and it adds a voice to them. And it was pretty cool. Like, it knew like male characters were male, so it gave them a male voice. Female characters, it gave a female voice. It even gave different voices to different races, like dwarves and gnomes and
added
so on
and
so forth.
Now, all that fun stuff.
It wasn't 100% perfect. Like, it's called the Defias Brotherhood, but they called it the Defias Brotherhood. So, like, it wasn't 100% perfect. Like, with some tuning, it could be great. But what was so awesome about it is people are playing, and they're like, oh, that's why we're in Elwynn Forest. Yeah. Like, it brought the story forward, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that people don't want to read.
Well,
But it just, it made it even...
To be fair. With certain MMOs.
Yeah, you're just power questing.
You want to level up. And you're like, oh my gosh, okay, you need these flowers? I don't care.
Yeah.
Except.
So, and how it works is you can actually accept the quest and run away towards your quest objectives, and the voice will still be going, so you don't have to actually sit there and wait. You can listen to it as you're going to your next objective. But yeah, I everybody's like, oh, well, okay, that's why the army's not here.
Yeah, when it adds so much value.
Yeah, and you're sitting there. Well, so I think much. It just made people like excited for the lore of each zone. And you realize like, oh, the lore is actually really good. Like this is great, you know? So yeah, I think, you know,
it's just going to be funny when you hear your own voice and characters. That's going to be happening very soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but,
Fallout New Vegas, everybody. It's our member play. It's our member play of the week. Well, for another week, 2 weeks in a row, and then we'll probably switch it up next week.
We'll do Fallout 3.
Download it. Spicy's going to download it this week, and we can get his impression on going back to Fallout New Vegas.
We were watching gameplay, and gosh, that makes me want to play that game.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Super cool. Anyways, join us in that. Everybody, don't go anywhere if you're a member. We got the member show next. If you'd like to support us, become a member. YouTube.com/X1Bros. YouTube.com/Positive Gaming. Hit the join button. Become a member. We do member-only shows after every single show. After everyone. So come join us. Have a great week, though. It's going to be another good one. I feel it.
Yeah. Well said, David.
Yeah, good week.
See you guys. I'm looking away. I'm so far.